Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. And coming up, we're learning from the doubts and struggles of Abraham. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 15 for a message called Abrahamic Covenant as we go back to basics.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. After these things, after the defeat of the Assyrian kings, after the refusal on the part of Abram to be enriched by the king of Sodom, after that wonderful encounter with Melchizedek, the Lord now appears to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Abraham, or to Abram, in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." It's interesting that this is the word that the Lord had for Abram when he appeared to him. Do not be afraid. It seems that after this great victory and after this wonderful encounter with Melchizedek, Abram went into a season of darkness, into a time of fear, and I think into a time of doubt as well. This is sometimes the case with God's servants. We find a number of examples of it in Scripture, most notably Elijah. You remember the story. Elijah has the great victory on Mount Carmel over the prophets of Baal. And then he is terrified by the threats of Jezebel, and flees, and is at a point of such despondency that he's ready to die. And you see that sometimes, a great victory on the one hand, but then followed by a season of defeat. And we can even experience that ourselves. You have those times, you know, where spiritually you're just doing so well and you're walking in victory and God's blessing and he's using you, and you're just sort of on the mountaintop as far as your experience goes. And then suddenly, for seemingly no reason at all, you can find yourself cast down into a pit. And it seems that that has happened to Abram here. Now, some people might disagree, but why else would the Lord speak to him and say, "Do not fear," unless he had suddenly been seized by fear? What would he have been afraid of? Well, perhaps he would have been afraid of the retaliation of the Babylonian kings. Perhaps, being led, no doubt, by the Spirit and carried along in the Spirit to that great victory, you know, coming back and sort of settling down again, maybe suddenly it just struck him how amazing it was, all of the things that had happened. And maybe he started, you know, thinking through it and thinking, you know, what was that? And, you know, how did that happen? And I know we had a victory, but boy, what if those kings regroup? And surely they could do that. And what if they come back and they come back looking for me? I think that probably went through his mind. There might have also been the fear of material deprivation. Because the Lord says, notice, he says to him, do not fear. He says, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And so it seems that the way God is speaking to Abram to encourage him corresponds to the issues that he's battling with or struggling with at the moment. Abram, don't be afraid. Don't worry about the possibility of retaliation. I am your shield. I will guard you. I will protect you. Don't worry about material deprivation. Remember, he refused to be enriched by the king of Sodom. And again, of course, perhaps he was thinking if the kings regrouped and came back, they would take away his belongings. But the Lord reminds him that not only is he his shield, but he is his exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, now listen to this. Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. So, you see, here's where there's the doubt that's starting to come up. And, you know, when we get into kind of a dark state or a state of depression, a state of fear, quite oftentimes doubt comes and begins to plague us. And, you know, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. Here's Abram. He's no doubt fearful, as we've mentioned, and so forth. But the word of the Lord comes to him and encourages him, but he's not totally encouraged by that. You know, in a sense, it's almost like he says, well, okay, Lord, that's great, but, you know, what about those promises? What about what you told me? You told me that you were going to give me an heir. You told me that you were going to give me a child. And so, you know, as I look at this, I see, you know, here's a man who, like we said, he's had a great victory, but now he's sort of down in a pit, and everything is just sort of getting to him right now. He's got the fears of the possible retaliation, like we said, but he's also evidently frustrated to some extent and disappointed to some extent over the fact that God hasn't come through yet with his promise. You remember God had said to him, I will make you a great nation. In you all the families of the earth will be blessed. To your seed I will give this land. And here he is. He's left his home as God had told him to do. He's settled in this foreign place. But he says, you know, Lord, I have no child. You've given me no offspring. And you can almost hear in Abram's voice the cry of another. Remember the man in the Gospels who came to Jesus because his son was distressed by an evil spirit? And he comes and he says, Lord, if you can do anything, help my son. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And the man says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And it's almost as though Abram's saying the same thing. Lord, you're my shield. Thank you. You're my great reward. Thank you. But Lord, there's something else on my mind. I don't have any children. You haven't come through with your promise. And here once again, as I pointed out previously, we see the humanity of the man. And I think we do ourselves and others a great disservice if we fail to take into consideration the humanity of the people that we're reading about in the Bible. The reason that their humanity is highlighted, or maybe highlighted is not the best word, but it's just shown for what it is, I think the reason for that is to give us hope and encouragement. Remember, we're told, we mentioned Elijah a moment ago, remember, we're told in the New Testament that Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. You know, sometimes I think we tend to overly spiritualize the lives of the people that we read about in the Bible. And because Abraham, because he's known to us biblically as a man of great faith, we tend to sometimes think that, well, you know, if he was a man of great faith, surely he couldn't have been a man who doubted. If he was a man of great faith, surely he couldn't have been a man who feared. If he was a man of great faith, certainly he was never depressed or anything like that, because he was a man of great faith. But the reality is, men and women with great faith get depressed sometimes. Men and women with great faith have seasons of doubt and go through times of darkness. This is just the way life is. But I think sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that, well, if I had more faith, or if I loved God more, if I was more committed or something like that, I would never doubt, I would never fear, I would never be downcast, I would never have a problem. I would just go through, you know, I'd just skip through life joyously. That's not a reality. And if you do skip through life joyously, it's because you were metabolically conditioned to do that. You know, I know some people that are, I don't think they even have ever for one second known what depression is. They're always on top of it. But you know, it's more of a personality thing. It's more of a metabolic thing than a spiritual thing. But sometimes we misinterpret it and we think, well, that's real spirituality there. You know, if I was really spiritual, I would never be downcast. I would never be depressed. I would never be afraid. I'd be like that guy over there, skipping and jumping and singing and smiling. And you're looking at yourself like, what's the matter with me? It's genetic. Because, again, here's our great model of faith. He's afraid. He is downcast. He is questioning God's plan right now. He's confused. Lord, I thought you were going to do all of this stuff. And, you know, here I am. You've given me no offspring. And so, verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one, Eliezer that he mentioned, shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. You know, again, we see the patience of God, the compassion of God in the face of human weakness and frailty. And these are the kinds of things that we, you know, we really do need to understand. How does God deal with us when we are in a downcast state? How does God deal with us when we're going through seasons of doubt? He doesn't upbraid us. He doesn't come on with a strong rebuke. But he patiently and graciously works with us. He says to Abram, no, Eliezer's not going to be your heir. Let me show you something. And he takes him and he shows him the heavens. And you see in it just, you know, this encouragement. And again, I say this because, you know, I know so many people that will oftentimes beat themselves to death thinking that because they've been in a season of darkness or confusion or doubt or something like that, thinking that God is upset with them, thinking that God is angry with them, and they are living in this condemned sort of a state. I've had so many people over the years intimate to me through things they've said that they felt that when they've been depressed, they've been in sin. And I like to take them through the Bible and show them the places where the biblical writers were depressed. We have to understand that that's not necessarily sin. Now, of course, occasionally it could be. It all depends on, you know, what's causing the depression. I mean, it's possible that a person's not trusting God. It's possible that disobedience has led to that. But it's also very possible that none of that is the case at all. It's just part of what we go through because of our humanness. It's part of what we go through because we are in a spiritual battle and there's warfare. So we have to understand God's heart toward us is one of patience. It's one of graciousness. It's one of tenderness as he's dealing with us. And we see the tenderness here in his dealings with Abram. And so we read in verse 6 concerning Abram. God took him, showed him the stars, and he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, accounted it to him for righteousness. So Abram believed, and it says Abram believed in the Lord, but I think the New Testament sort of commentary on this is Abram believed the Lord. Believed in the Lord would almost sound like, you know, up until this point, he hadn't really believed in the Lord as far as even his existence. Of course, that's not the idea that's being communicated. What Abram believed is he believed what God told him. He believed the Lord. He believed what the Lord said. Now, I won't detour onto this totally, but just to mention it real quickly, when you come to Paul's epistles, and particularly Romans and Galatians, where Paul is dealing with the whole issue of how it is that a man is declared righteous before God, this is the very passage that Paul goes back to build his case that a man is justified by grace through faith alone, just like Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So that's the case with us. We believe God. We believe what he said about Christ. We believe the gospel, and it is accounted to us for righteousness. And so in Romans, the 4th chapter, in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, Paul really takes this one declaration here from Genesis, and he builds the theology of justification by faith around this declaration. Now, having stated that Abram believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, look what happens as we go on. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Abram speaking again, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Now that's interesting to me. Because he's just been declared as, again, a man of faith. But immediately after the declaration that he's a man of faith, God tells him what he's going to do. And Abram says, well, how do I know you're going to do it? You know, the thing we see about Abram that's, it's interesting, and we'll see it later as we go on in the story, but I'll just fast forward ahead a bit. You remember when God is on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And you remember how Abram how Abraham pleads with God. And you remember he starts with, you know, what is it? I think 50 righteous. If there are 50 righteous, will you spare the city? God says, for 50 righteous, I'll spare the city. What about 40? For 40 righteous, I'll spare the city. How about 30? For 30, I'll spare the city. Lord, I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to say 20. How about 20? For 20, I'll spare the city. And then you remember he goes all the way down to 10. And, you know, it's to me, it's just interesting to see this man of faith, but yet he's thoroughly human. And he says, okay, yeah, you show me the stars, you know, that this is great. But how do I know that this is really going to happen? Now, again, here, I think, you know, we have a sincere question, not born out of unbelief, but just born out of perplexity. Do you know that God is perfectly comfortable with your sincere questions and anybody and everybody's sincere questions? You know, I think sometimes, I know it's true because I've heard it so many times, we think of God as a highly irritable sort of a person who's easily offended, who we can upset at the drop of a hat if we, you know, happen to just say the wrong thing, but nothing could be further from the truth. You know, sometimes somebody will, I've had a number of experiences like this where somebody will come and I haven't seen them around the church for a while and they'll come and, oh, hello, Pastor. Oh, I was, you know, and then they immediately are, you know, making excuses for why they weren't here and they had to do this and that and everything else. And, hey, it's okay. You know, calm down. It's all right. God's not upset, you know. God's not easily irritated. He can take our sincere questions. He can take our sincere doubts. We can come to him and say, Lord, I don't get this. I just don't get it. Now, is that my take on God? Is that just my theory? No. Because this is what you find in the scriptures. Think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had so many questions for God, so many things that he did not understand. And on one occasion, he says, Lord, I know you're the Lord. I understand all that, but I don't get this. You know, in other words, he's saying, if you are who you said you are, and I am who you've called me to be, your prophet and all that, what am I doing in this predicament that I'm in? Those are legitimate, valid questions that we can ask God. We can come to him. But I think, you know, sometimes I just think we get, I don't even know what the word for it is. I don't know if religious would be a good term or, but, you know, we get into a state where we're not being honest with God. We feel like we can't really express ourselves. We can't really tell him what's really on our mind. You can go to God and say, God, this prayer thing, I don't know how to do this. Tell me how to do this. Help me to do this. And he will.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Abrahamic Covenant, and the resource number is B0028. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.